Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, June 27th. And today we're going to be scouting the other of the Pistons' second round draft picks. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of Locked On Pistons, an AP writer out here in Chicago, Detroit soon, covering the NBA, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, as well as a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade. Thanks for making us part of your daily routine, including this summer. Plenty of Pistons news so far this summer, maybe unexpectedly, although the lull should be coming soon. I'm still dreading July and August, putting together content for you guys. Going to take a little bit more brain power. Going to search into the Rolodex for some more guests as well. Already got some exciting ones lined up that I'm anxious to share with you guys too. Today we're going to be running down the news a little bit, including a coach of the year, a new assistant general manager, and looking ahead to the summer league and also looking ahead to the Pistons GT weekend. The Pistons making a little bit of transactional news, according to Vince Ellis, as well on Tuesday. We're going to be talking some more on the draft too, as we're going to be joined by Shamik Mohile, a noted Pistons blogger, about Bruce Brown and other Pistons topics. Sham went to Miami, so he has a little different perspective of Bruce Brown, watching him as an alum and a fan, as opposed to some of the draft experts that we've heard about talking about Bruce Brown so far. So, also going to be telling you about a new assignment that I'm working on for the Detroit News, as it kind of pertains to some things that we're going to be talking about this summer with the Pistons. I've been putting it all together, I've had some thoughts that I've kind of changed and developed a little bit differently about the Pistons offseason, and I'll be talking to you about that later on in the show. But starting up, so a few news items to go through today as the NBA takes a little bit of a nap in between the draft and free agency, which could explode as it starts this weekend. Free agency opening up Sunday early morning, late Saturday night, midnight, whatever way you want to look at it. Might be better to say late Saturday night, because I'm feeling a lot of you will be staying up late on Saturday like I will, kind of seeing what's going on Twitter and seeing what the news is right as midnight strikes. I'm sure you'll be joining me there. The big news from Pistons land since we last talked on the podcast is new coach Dwayne Casey locked up that Coach of the Year award during Monday's award show for the NBA. This was the traditional Coach of the Year award as voted by the media. The one that he won a few weeks back was voted on by the NBA coaches. That was a two-year-old award that he also won, so he swept both of them. Awkward was how he described winning the award, and he went on to praise the trust that he had in Pistons owner Tom Gores with his new team, which obviously seemed like a bit of a slight at Raptors ownership after being fired by them a few weeks back. Other Pistons news from Tuesday, Malik Rose, it is official. The former San Antonio Spurs world champion is joining the Pistons front office as an assistant general manager under Ed Stefanski, who will someday maybe officially or maybe continue to be unofficially the head of the front office. He's a senior advisor right now. Is he the president of basketball operations? Is he the general manager? Who knows? And at this point, who really cares? He's running the show. We all know that Malik Rose will be one of his underlings. Rose was with Atlanta in the front office for the last 3 years after he left the broadcast booth for a couple different organizations, including his hometown Philadelphia 76ers. Before that, he won the G League Executive of the Year last year in Erie for the Atlanta affiliate. He also played 13 years in the NBA, most notably with the San Antonio Spurs under coach Greg Popovich, winning two rings there. Will he be good as he gets a raise and gets a little bit of a promotion to assistant general manager with the Pistons? I don't know. I mean, I liked Shane Battier as the first name bandied about because of his local ties, the way he played, and his ability and adaptiveness to the analytics. He's kind of taken that as his pet project in the Miami Heat front office. We like to get the Pistons organization to be a little bit modern, more modern going forward, and Shane Battier seemed like a good fit. Malik Rose has a little bit of a track record of accomplishments with the Atlanta organization right now, but keep in mind, we're talking about an Atlanta organization that's at the very bottom of the NBA right now. They are probably going to be the league's worst team in this upcoming season, and as far as building a team going forward, that's the easy part that Malik Rose has been a part of these last 3 years, is stripping it down completely, making some trades. And if you're looking at the Atlanta roster. You got John Collins, a nice rookie from last year, but not a whole lot of savvy type of front office decisions that's been made over the past couple of years. But not to say that Malik Rose will not be strong. I just, you know, pump the brakes on things like us on the outside, fans, and I'm a little bit on the inside with some of my sources that I have throughout the league, and hopefully that'll grow as we continue to move on here with the Lockdown Pistons podcast. But I think we can not get too excited or too down about the fact that Malik Rose is with the Pistons. And as of right now, guys like Trajan Langdon and as of any time, Shane Battier won't be with the Pistons. I mean, it's assistant general manager positions. These are guys that we talked about Pat Garrity a little bit these last couple of years, but certainly not a guy who was a focal point of Pistons fans and Pistons world in these last couple of years. So we'll see. Another interesting nugget in terms of the Pistons coaching and front office situations is Vince Ellis reported after talking to Dwayne Casey on the phone from Los Angeles after he won his award that Casey dropped the name Tim Grugarich as a possible Pistons hire on the skill development side. It seems like he has had a consulting role with Jason Kidd in Milwaukee before he was fired from the Bucks there. And lately, a guy that Casey worked with in Seattle under George Karl back in the Sean Kemp days when those teams went to the NBA Finals. But Grugarich is 76 years old. He's a former head coach at the University of Pittsburgh, the college team there. So the Panthers, that was back in the, I believe, the maybe 80s or 90s, though. So that was a long time ago. Again, 76 years old. But a guy that Dwayne Casey is hoping to get onto the staff of the Detroit Pistons with a skill development side. But speaking of skill development, Summer League coming up soon. Wanted to pass along the schedule as you guys start thinking about your 4th of July plans and if you could be in front of the TV or not the weekend after the 4th, which is the awkward, you know, timing of the holiday this year is on Wednesday, so who knows what your work schedules will be like and your vacation schedules will be like. But the action actually starts on Monday in Sacramento in Orlando for the league, but the Pistons will be with everyone in the NBA in Las Vegas opening up a few days after that later next week on Friday, July 6th. That's what the Pistons will open up, 7 o'clock Eastern time against the Milwaukee Bucks on NBA TV. Then they will play Saturday, 9 o'clock Eastern against Memphis, also on NBA TV. And the Pistons will wrap up the regular season of Summer League play on Monday, July 9th, 3 o'clock Eastern against the New Orleans Pelicans on ESPNU. The Pistons will then play two more games after that starting on Wednesday, July 11th. You know, the championship and consolation rounds, all the teams will get guaranteed five games. So the Pistons will wrap up with two more after that. Henry Ellenson, by the way, will be playing on the Summer League team. He might be a Summer League Hall of Famer before all is said and done. So congratulations to Henry for that. Luke Kennard at point guard will be something to keep an eye on, as has been talked about by the Pistons organization. And, of course, the draft picks, Bruce Brown of Miami and Kyrie Thomas of Creighton, also as kind of front runners or headliners, I should say, for the Detroit Pistons. Pistons GT of the NBA 2K League. I promise as things kind of die down this offseason, we'll get more into these guys on the podcast, maybe visit with another player and take a more in-depth league look on how the league is going for the NBA in terms of popularity-wise for the NBA 2K League. The Pistons GT team lost a pair of games last week, including a 88-53 drubbing by Mavs Gaming. The Pistons GT team is now down to 4-3 on the regular season, but sitting in sixth place alone out of 17 teams in the NBA 2K League standings. The Pistons GT team continues their regular season with a Saturday game, 4 o'clock this weekend, Pistons GT team against the Raptors. So keep an eye out for that one. It should be a hot weekend in the Midwest, so maybe stay inside with the air conditioning, catch it on Twitch, see how these guys can bounce back from a rough weekend. Also wanted to pass along another tidbit from Vince Ellis, who's been killing it with his offseason coverage. Hat tip to Vince of the Detroit Free Press, reporting that the Pistons will not extend a qualifying offer to Kay Felder, the former Oakland University Golden Grizzlies player and who was the two-way player with the Pistons in the last half of last season. So Felder will become an unrestricted free agent on July 1st. I still imagine that if it doesn't work out for Kay in terms of a guaranteed contract somewhere else, that he could come back to the Pistons on a two-way deal. I'm not going to pretend to know the minutiae of that part of the cap situations there. But imagining that Felder could have the Pistons and likewise as possibly a fallback plan. But he had the back problems at the end of last year and it could be possible that the Pistons' new front or office could be trying to maybe move on from Kayfelder as well. Time will tell to see who ends up with those two-way deals with the Grand Rapids Drive and the Detroit Pistons. Up next, we're going to be talking to Pistons blogger Shamik Mohile about Bruce Brown and also some other things about the Pistons offseason. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we've got reasonable rates. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
All right, and we are now being joined by Sham Mohile of the Two Gods and a Goose podcast, a free agent on the Pistons blogging scene as well. Sham, thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Yeah, no, I thought of you as the Pistons made their pick at 42 last week. You're a Miami alum from college days in Coral Gables there. And I think it's a little bit more interesting to get the fans' perspective than all the other draft stuff that we hear and we can get all these other places. So Bruce Brown from the Hurricanes, what's to like and what's not to like for Pistons fans?
Oh, man. I mean, if the Pistons wanted somebody to kind of like go back to the bad boys era, the defensive-minded kind of player, Bruce Brown is definitely a guy that fits that bill. He is a menace on defense. He gets in the pass lane a lot. He's got a pretty crazy wingspan for his size. I think he's maybe 6'4", and his wingspan's like 6'10", or something like that, something crazy. Yeah, and he's not a slouch on offense either. He's pretty solid both ways. So, yeah, there's a lot to be excited. And honestly, I'm surprised that he fell so far, because I remember when he was incoming as a freshman, Jim Larinaga didn't really have many one-and-dones, the coach of Miami. And Bruce Brown was one of the first prospects that he had picked up that we all thought was going to be like a one-and-done. And he ended up staying for a second year, and that ended up being a poor decision because he got hurt. But a lot of people believe that he was supposed to be like a late first-round pick before his injury. So this is a steal.
What do you think? I mean, I heard obviously the shooting numbers aren't good, especially from three-point land, and it's the form looks a little jacked up at times. We've seen players correct that with becoming professional basketball players and spending more time on things like that in the NBA. Is that something that you feel like can be fixed up quite a bit?
I mean, he's not going to become J.J. Redick. He's going to be – he has a chance to become competent, and that's why I think like maybe he would be better off like having maybe a few years in the G League or, you know, ride in the bench. I don't think he'll be able to contribute right away, but, you know, as the Pistons start to become in cap purgatory, he could become a cheap contributor maybe off the bench, maybe in 2 years or so.
Now, what Vince Ellis wrote a little bit about Bruce and kind of with the relation to him possibly becoming a point guard down the road in some capacity in the NBA. How was his role at Miami, and do you see that there's some potential there? And how was that fit with a guy like Lonnie Walker that they had last year before Bruce had the injury?
So, yeah, Bruce Brown, out of the two guards, is probably more apt at being point guard than Lonnie Walker. Bruce Brown ran a lot of pick and roll sets at Miami, and he averaged, I think, just over 3.5 or 4 assists, something like that, last year. And he's one of the better pick and roll passers. And that, I mean, with playing with Andre Drummond and the bigs that we have on our team, that's going to be really important as the pick and roll becomes more like a tool utilized more and more. But I still think maybe his best role is as a two guard. And in transition, he's good at finding people off of screens. He's good at hitting people in transition. He's good at finishing at the rim. So he could play point guard, but I don't know if he would that'd be his primary position in the NBA.
Now, what about when he went down with the foot injury about midway through the season? What was different about the Hurricanes? I guess Walker probably elevated his game a little bit without Bruce there. But what was the team kind of missing after Bruce went down?
Honestly, it was defense. Lonnie Walker could pretty much handle the load on offense, and there were a couple other contributors too on the team. Jim Larinaga's offense is kind of more of an even distribution. It's not really star heavy. So when Bruce went down, the offense didn't really suffer all that much. Of course, it suffered because Bruce Brown was a first round talent at the time. But where his impact was really missed was on the defensive end, where the guards would penetrate their zone pretty easily, and Bruce Brown was one of the better perimeter defenders on that team and in the ACC in general. So, they really missed him on that end.
Sham Mohile joining us here on Locked On Pistons of the Two Gods and a Goose podcast. Check it out there. They talk Pistons, hip-hop, other great guests as well. I enjoy listening to you guys there. And Sham, what do you think? I mean, you don't have an outlet to write right now, but so what are your thoughts on the offseason so far? Dwayne Casey coming in. What do you think about what he and Ed Stefanski are putting together so far?
It's exciting. It's a big change because, you know, we went from an authoritarian regime in Stan Van Gundy from top to bottom. He had most of the control. And now it seems like they're going to more of a team approach where Stefanski is kind of taking over like the front office, and he's hiring a bunch of young GMs with the different kinds of backgrounds. Like Malik Rose he was just hired as the assistant GM. He's been highly regarded around the league as, you know, a good player development guy. So, it's exciting in the front office. And then with Dwayne Casey, I mean, you can't really go wrong when you get a reigning coach of the year as a replacement for your coach. So I'm just excited to see how he kind of molds and, mends this offense that has largely struggled with so much star power. So we'll see. I mean, how he has the two big sets and how he staggers the minutes. It'll be exciting. And I think the younger players will benefit from the tutelage of Dwayne Casey as well.
Yeah, I think it's been an awkward way that maybe some of the things have been handled in terms of the space and time that it took to fire Stan Van Gundy and the amount of time it took to hire a coach. And we're still waiting on a general manager, although, of course, Ed Stefanski running the show at Little Caesars Arena these days. But any predictions for the rest of the offseason, or is it going to be kind of about as boring as we expect it to be given the cap limitations?
It'll probably be boring. We're not going to be making trades for Kawhi Leonard or anybody like that. I do think that Anthony Tolliver should try and come back. I know that he'll probably get some big offers, judging by how well he performed last year. I'm hoping that he's able to come back because he was really a big help off the bench last season. But, yeah, I mean, aside from the occasional, like, backup bench role player, I don't think the Pistons are in a place to, like, really make a big splash in free agency. But you never know. I thought that last year. And they made a huge trade. So who knows?
Well, Sham Mohile of Two Gods and a Goose podcast, thanks for joining us talking Bruce Brown. You can catch him on Twitter at ShamShamGod. If you're a Pistons fan on Twitter, you're probably already following him. But thanks for joining us here.
Yeah, anytime, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
All right, I'm working on a new project this week for the Detroit News, the top 25 free agents in the NBA. You should look for that on the website, DetroitNews.com, later this week. And going through this, man, there are a lot of free agents, and the Pistons are not the only team out there in salary cap trouble right now. I'm doing 25, and obviously Anthony Tolliver and James Ennis won't be anywhere near this top 25 list. By the way, Hoops Hype had Anthony Tolliver at number 71 on their list. But just thinking as time goes on that it might be more possible than we thought for Anthony Tolliver to come in here back. You might have thought that he would have gotten a sizable raise from what he made last year with the Pistons, maybe getting into the $10 to $12 million range just based on performance and what over years past teams had rewarded in the open market of players that had the types of years that Tolliver had. But I just don't think the money's going to be out there for that kind of thing. If anything, he probably holds steady. Just thinking it might be more possible for AT to come back than maybe I would have thought a couple weeks back. Also, don't forget about James Ennis. Like I mentioned, Ed Stefanski coming in from Memphis, and it could be possible for the younger guy to come back as well. Ed Stefanski trading James Ennis from Memphis over to Detroit at the deadline, being a part of that. I guess Chris Wallace runs the Memphis front office, but Stefanski being one of the top lieutenants back there last year as well. But interesting, as Pistons fans, that we're sitting here after such a disappointing season from last year, and here we are, here I am, I guess, hoping that the only two free agents of consequence from last year, hoping that they come back. So kind of a weird turn of events inconveniently, the Tolliver and Ennis, two guys that would be pretty useful for the Pistons, are two of the guys that they're probably going to lose from last year's team. But maybe they will come back. Jameer Nelson, he can stay away, though, as far as I'm concerned. No need to give him a call. But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Lockdown Pistons Twitter account at Lockdown Pistons. And give us a like on the Facebook page at Lockdown Pistons-Matt Shook. And also give us a rating and review on iTunes. Thanks to Sham Mohile for joining us. Two Gods and a Goose is the name of the podcast. Check that one out. He does it with Keith down there in Miami as well. So thanks for listening, everyone. This is Matt Shook, your host of Lockdown Pistons, and have a good one.